And verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So just want to look at two verses that use the Aramaic phrase. In Mark 5, verse 41, our Saviour says to the damsel, the young girl, Talitha Kumi, which we are told the meaning, arise. And then in Mark 7, verse 34, he says to the deaf and dumb man, first of all looking up to heaven, then sighing, and he saith to him, Ephphatha. And we're told the meaning there, be opened. Now, why did Mark choose to give us this information about the original language that Christ spoke in Aramaic? Well, certainly, it must have made an impression upon him, the drama of the moment, and it stayed with him. And of course, it signifies, both those phrases signify a key moment. The one, arise, Talitha Kumi, and the other, be opened, Ephphatha. In the one case, with the young damsel, it was resurrection from the dead. With the other case, it was hearing and also speaking of a deaf and dumb man. A man who is deaf often cannot speak plainly, and both are resolved with this remarkable miracle and healing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, in the first place, both are miraculous events, and they stand as testimonies to Christ being the Son of God. And that's the first purpose of them, to remind us he's the Son of God. He's come from heaven. He has come to this world to testify to us who he is, and then he saves us on the cross of Calvary. And all these things are useful to us to remember he is God, the Son, and he has come to become man to save us. But also, with these miracles, they are of such dramatic significance that they also speak of spiritual power as well. In the first place, it's bodily power, but they all are so useful to describe the greater work of Christ, that he will indeed heal us in our souls. And I believe they're God-given pictures for us to apply beyond the body to the soul. Sometimes you find, don't you, that in these healings that they heal in the body and then Christ says something and it's obvious they believed in the soul. Not all who were healed in the body believed in the soul. And that's such a tragic thing when you think about it. To be touched in the body so miraculously, and yet not to be touched in the soul. But no doubt it happened many times with the people in the time of Christ. And it speaks also of people maybe in our congregations being touched and helped in some way, but not in their soul. Enjoying the fellowship, or maybe having great help from the church, but not being saved in their souls. So even in that, there is a reminder. But let's look at these as pictures of spiritual healings and miracles of Christ, the greater miracle. And first of all, the conversion experience, and secondly, Christian experiences. But it is such a good picture of conversion, because we are indeed deaf and dumb and dead, you could say. Deaf to the gospel, deaf to all the pleadings, dumb in a sense, we could not speak gospel truths. They weren't in our hearts, they weren't on our lips in any reality, and essentially dead, dead spiritually. And we find this to be the testimony of what we see in our days. When we see people in the church who are not saved, they are most certainly deaf and dumb and dead, without any question. And you can't do anything with them in and of ourselves. They don't hear, they cannot speak, and they are dead. But then when a man is saved, of course he rises from the dead. It is a miracle of miracles. And we should remind ourselves, when somebody is truly saved, it's as if they were like this damsel on the bed, and dead, and Christ takes her hand, and she's raised with the words we see here, Talitha Kumi. And what a miracle it is. We should be amazed. Sometimes we bring salvation down to an earthly level, and very often it's not salvation, but you can't beat true conversion. It is simply miraculous and wonderful. And also, with the arising from the dead came all the faculties, and also we hear, don't we? We hear the voice of Christ in the first place. This also is a miracle. Whilst we were dead, we heard. The voice awakened us, and we heard the gospel. You know, I can remember before I was saved, being through so many sermons, and you know, I'm sure many here can testify to the same. You know, it was as if they weren't preached. My mind was somewhere else. Well, I can tell you what it was, but it was a little boy's mind thinking about sports all the time, and all my imagination, not thinking of the wonderful gospel that was being preached to my ears, but my ears were deaf. I do remember, however, occasionally, just 10 minutes here and there. No doubt that was maybe the stirrings. 10 minutes, I was all ears. And then it would pass until I was truly saved. But there is this hearing, you hear. And then, of course, things begin. And once you hear and truly hear in your heart, then, of course, there's speaking. And you begin to express things, showing understanding. You're hearing the gospel. You're taking it in. You've believed. And you begin to speak Christian language. Now, sometimes we can learn this language. I'm actually not speaking about that. We can learn evangelical language and know what to say. But there are signs of life that are deeper than just knowing the right words. And then when people say something or respond in a certain way, you say, behold, he prayeth. Behold, he speaketh. And there is life. Well, praise God for this. What hope would there be for any of us without this miracle? These words, Talitha Kumi, on the case of a young boy, I think is something like Tali Kumi. Talitha being damsel, Talitha Kumi, arise. Tremendous words, arise. What authority. Those words come from heaven, don't they? From heaven above. And there you are, an unbeliever, and the voice comes, arise. And then also, Ephatha, be opened. Well, praise God for these things. Because these things are the stuff of true conversion. But going on to Christian experiences, now that we are saved, there is a sense we can still be a kind of deaf and dumb and dead, not like the unbeliever, but We can be as dead, you could say. If you just think of the words in Romans 11, and that speaks of the church, and when the Jews shall be saved at the end times, as many of us believe, and the Gentiles will respond, and it will be like as a life from the dead. Now, we're not dead, but such will be the reviving power, the work of a revival, that it will seem as if we were dead and now are alive, because that's revival. We're not dead spiritually, but we are dead in our slumbers as a church and as dead. But when God comes, then we become alive. Not just in that way. Certainly, we can be dead in our sins and dead in our worldliness. All these are dulling effects upon us. But as the hymn writer says, with life's trials and attacks, those seven deaths lie or lay between. Those seven deaths lay between. And life can be like that, can't it? You can, not speaking now necessarily of falling to sin, but just the trials of life, the attacks of the devil, the hard providences, they seem like deaths, don't they? You die inwardly, and they break you inwardly. And our Saviour says, whether it is through sin or through trials of life, he says to the Christian, arise. Talitha kumi, arise. Because you know this condition of being in the valley and in depressions and oppressions, although there are good reasons for them, it's not where we belong. And our Savior says to us, arise, because we are in him. We are alive in him. We don't belong to the things of death. We belong to the things of life. And this life is his glorious person. We are joined to him. His life is our life. All the things of death are not ours anymore, but rather we belong to the glorious, liberating life of Jesus Christ in his person and his glory. And, you know, when we are otherwise, what's happening? Well, we are probably feeling sorry for ourselves. No doubt the devil is an opportunist and he keeps you down there with great theology, I would imagine too. The devil's good at theology and he keeps you down there with great vindication and justification. But we shouldn't be there. And our Savior says to us, Talitha kumi, or Tali kumi, arise, arise. By God's help, I can't command you to arise without the power of God in my words. But Christ can speak to your hearts, whatever your circumstances, however sad you feel, Christ says to you, arise. I am your God. I am your Savior. You are in me. You are safe in me. You know, all the feelings you have of being dead and dying, let me ask the question, is it reality? Is this the true position that you are in? And I think you'd have to confess, well, no, I can't say that. I might feel that, but I can't say that because I know I am in Christ and he is at the right hand of God, and he's all glorious, and very soon I shall be with him, and there shall be victory and triumph in the glorious work and the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's washed my sins away. I'm dressed in his righteousness, and his very life is my life. He lives in me, and his life is in me. He is the vine. I am the branch. I am joined to the life. Understand it. I'm joined to the life. Why should I be a dead branch? I'm joined to the life. Now, of course, I'm speaking much more here than feel-good factor. I'm speaking about the command of Christ. Arise, Talitha kumi. Then, a similar thought with a deafness. With a seeming deadness, there can be a deafness and also a failing in our speech as well. Same kind of thing, really, but a different angle of looking upon these things. Why are we deaf? Well, You have to say the congregations of evangelical churches are pretty deaf today. We don't respond like our fathers. There's something wrong with our hearing. No doubt there's some lack in the sermons, but that's no excuse. The truths are still there. The Spirit is still working. There's still a problem in the pew. There might be a problem in the pulpits, I grant you. There's also a problem in the pews. And what will cause our deafness? Well, the noise of the world. The noise of the world. We are too worldly. We're too concerned with the body and the things of this life. It might not be just awful worldliness, but it might just be typical worldliness. And we can live our lives in the same manner as the world live their lives. And our head is full of noise. And of course, sins come with that, and sins dull our hearing. I'm sure sometimes you perceive it. You might maybe have been near the Lord yesterday, but today your heart is slow. And it frightens you, doesn't it? Why is my heart not like yesterday? Why am I slow? Is this a slide? And we are right to think like that and to stir ourselves, to make sure that we hear and then we can speak. See how the Lord responds to this case. He sighs. You're not told why he sighs. Is it a sigh of sadness because of the fall of man? Or a sigh of pity for this poor case? Now, certainly it's sympathy, but no doubt also sadness. And our Lord, I'm sure, sighs at our spirituality. You know, we look at Israel in the Old Testament and we sigh, don't we? We see the account, God's grace and blessing, and they promise much and they fail. And then we look at the disciples and we shake our heads. What are they like? Surely they should have known by now how slow they are. And of course, we are the same. And I'm sure the Lord sighs sadly about us too. But he also sighs with sympathy. And praise God for that. Our Lord is all sympathy and all compassion. He might be sad, but he's full of kindness and good desire towards us. Indeed, there's nobody that has a better desire for us than Christ himself. His desires for us are perfect and splendid. And so he might say to you tonight, Ephatha, maybe you've been deaf for 10 years, and he says to you, Ephatha, that you might hear the glories of the gospel, because you know it is glorious, and it is wonderful, and it's a mystery why we're not more rejoicing and more full of praise, and why we're so mournful and murmuring. It's a mystery, because the gospel is glory, glory. It is wonderful. It is glory from the beginning and most definitely in the end. And then, of course, once we hear, what happens then? You know, when your soul is touched and you hear and you say to yourself, I get it. I see it. I see the wonder of it, the grace of it, the glory of it. What happens then? Your tongues are loosed and you begin to speak and you praise the Lord. And it changes your heart and your tongue expresses it. And what a good thought for a prayer meeting, that our tongues might be loosed, that you might hear, you know, the wonders and the glories. Now, we all know, my dear friends, what it is to be in the dumps. We all know what it is to be sad and deeply grieved, wounded and hurt. We all know what it is. Some of us maybe more than others. I don't deny you that. But I still say to you, the Lord is greater than your sadness. I still, whatever your sadness, the Lord is greater. And he says to you this evening, arise, talitha kumi, tali kumi. And he says to you, Ephatha, be opened. Be opened, not just your ears, but also your mouth. And praise him. We're here for a few days. Let's praise him. Let's not give the impression to those who come to our services, oh, it's so difficult. I'm so tired. I'm doing too much. Maybe you are. And maybe you are tired. But you know, should it not be more like this? Praise the Lord. What a gospel. What a privilege. How glad I'm here. Let me serve him. I have a few days to thank him here. Let me thank him today for this gospel, for saving my soul, having mercy upon me, and bringing me into the bosom of God, and that forever. Well, may the Lord loosen our tongues this evening in our praying. And we'll sing a hymn now. And the hymn is 652. 652. Jesus, thy far extended fame, my drooping soul exults to hear. Thy name, thy all-restoring name, is music in a sinner's ear. Shall we stand to sing?